We'll say good morning. Let's begin. First of all, a very special thank you to Yecheskel for the breakfast this morning. Shikach, what a beautiful way to end out the year, and Amir Tzashem lay the groundwork for the coming year. Thank you. So today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Akiva. Last two lines. Rabbi Akiva Allah B'Shalom V'Yar B'Shalom. So remember again, out of the four people that entered into the Paradis, so Rabbi Akiva went ahead. Rabbi Akiva went ahead and went up in peace and came down in peace. V'Alav HaKasav Omer, and about him the Pasuk says, Mashchini Acharecha Narutza. Draw me after you, and I will come. Representing ultimately again the connection of Rabbi Akiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even Rabbi Akiva was in mortal danger when he was up in the Paradise, even though Malachi Asharis wanted to kill him. What an amazing statement. So the Malachi HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Malachi Asharis, leave him alone. Leave him alone because it is appropriate that he is mishtamish, that he ultimately again benefits from my covet. Tap of Tez Zayin. So the Gemara asks, my darsh. So we'll say, what we've seen over here is that so far everyone else who went up to the Pardes, went into Shemaim, was negatively affected because somehow of some type of misunderstanding or lack of full comprehension. So what was it that allowed Rabbi Akiva to have this experience and yet again allowed him to emerge unscathed? Am Rabbi Arachana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Va'asa Mirivavos Kodesh. So the Pasuk says he will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, a Rivavos Kodesh from the myriads of his holiness. Osu Birivav Shalom. There is a sign in his myriads. We'll explain all of this in just a moment. Rabbi Avahu says, Dogul Mirvava, Dugma Hu Birivava. There is a sign ultimately again in the multitudes. The Rivava Shalom. Reish Lagish says, Hashem Savakos Shimo. Hashem, the host of legions, is his name. Adonhu Bitsava Shelo. He is again the master in his army. I will say, so what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that Rabbi Akiva somehow had some, Rashi points this out, has some level of comprehension in what he was seeing. For some reason, Rabbi Akiva possessed a certain level of comprehension, but specifically that Rabbi Akiva went into this experience with a very important yesod, which is that not everything you see is to be understood as you see it. I will say, a very good yesod for life as well. Not everything you see is exactly the way it actually is. So he understood that when he went up to Shem and he saw certain things, that there would be things that looked a certain way, but lav dafk, that's really the way they were. So because of that, so for example, when we saw yesterday that Acher saw Metatron sitting, right? And he thought that therefore Shtei Rishios, there are two gods. Rabbi Akiva understood from the beginning that there may be certain things that look a certain way, but you have to understand that I don't fully comprehend everything that I'm seeing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, I left that one piece. Rabbi Chiba Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'll say this is very lemaisa. Rabbi Chiba Abba, saying Rabbi Yochanan, lo beruach Hashem. God is not in the wind. Va'achar haruach rash. And after the wind came the noise. Literally, rash meaning the earthquake. Lo berash Hashem. God is not to be found in the rash of the earthquake. Va'achar harash esh. And after the earthquake comes fire. And I'll say over here, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk. In the pasuk from Melachim, so va'acharash eish, and after the earthquake came fire, lo be'esh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was out of the fire, va'achar ha'esh, kol dimama dakar. I will say, this is the imagery, right, from Unisana Tokef. This is exactly where it's taken from. So after the fire comes again, kol dimama daka, a very soft sound, v'hine Hashem over. So where is the Ribono Shel Olam found? Sometimes the Ribono Shel Olam is found again in the kol dimama daka, in the soft voice. Tan Rabbanan, shisha dvarim ne'emru b'shedim. There are six things that are said about shedim. Shlosha kimalochei hashareis. So three ways shedim are like angels. Ushlosha kimalochei Adam, and three ways in which shedim are like men. Shlosh kimalachi asharis. Three ways in which shedim are like malachim. Yeshlam kinafayim. They have wings. Kimalachi asharis. They have wings like angels. V'tasim isofa olam va'atzofa kimalachi asharis. They could travel from one end of the world to the other end, presumably with those wings, like malachim. V'yodin mash asid lihios kimalachi asharis. And they know what is going to happen in the future, just like malachi asharis. The Gemara says yodin sach daintcha. Do Shadim know the future? Yeah, that's an incredible koach that you often only assume rests with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela shomin me'achori hapargod kemalachi asharis. What it means is they hear from behind the curtain, right? The curtain represents, again, this curtain that separates that separates between, again, Shamayim, ultimately, it separates, it's the Mechitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They somehow hear from Me'achori HaPargod, from behind the curtain, what it is that is going to occur. U'shlosha kibnei Adam, and there are three ways in which Shedim are like men. Ochlim v'shosin kibnei Adam, they eat, Shedim eat and drink. Parin v'ravin kibnei Adam, Shedim apparently procreate like men. Umesim kibnei Adam, and they die like people. Shisha dvarim ne'emru b'bnei Adam. There are six things that are said about man. Shlosha kimalachi asharis, in three ways we are angelic, and in three ways shlosha kibehema, three ways we are like animals. Shlosha kimalachi asharis, yeish lahem das kimalachi asharis, we have intellect like angels. Mahalchin become as a kufa, we walked with an erect pasture like malachi asharis. Umisaprim b'lashna kodesh kimalachi asharis, we could speak lashna kodesh like malachi asharis. Shlosha kibehema, there are three ways in which we are like animals. Ochlin v'shos kibehema, we eat and drink like animals. Par and ravik kibehema, we procreate like animals. Umotzien re'i kibehema, and we excrete like animals. We also such an incredible musr. Life is a choice. Life is a choice. Who do I want to identify with? Do I want to identify with Malachi Asharis? Or do I want to identify with behemoths? That is the choice we all have to make. If a person looks at four things the Mishnah said, it is better that he's never been created. Says the Gemara, the Gemara says, I understand. Not looking at what is above, what is in below. However, mala achor lechaye el lifnim madaha v'hava. So we'll say, I understand why I shouldn't look above. I understand why I shouldn't look below. I understand why I shouldn't look behind. But ultimately, lifnim, that which was earlier. The way we're understanding lifnim now means that which preceded creation, right? Or the beginning of creation. So the Gemara says, madaha v'hava. What was. In other words, the Gemara is asking is, what is so bad about examining or studying the history of creation? What is bad about that? So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loz, Dami Tarvayu, Mashal Melech Basar V'dam Shamar La'avadav. This can be compared to an earthly king who said to his servants, Benu li palterin gedolin ala ashba. What did the king say? The king said, build me a palace on a landfill, right on a garbage dump. So what happened? Halchu ubanulo. So what happens? They built it. And remember, again, we'll say, what happens when they build it? You can never tell there was a garbage dump here. Ritzono shalmelech. Ein ritzono shalmelech lahask yushem ashba. So if there's one thing the king is makbid on, it's what? Is that you can't bring up what it was before. So apparently what the Gemara seems to be saying is that apparently to go ahead and look at what was before the world represents, I guess, ultimately what we'll call failed endeavors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at creation, whatever that failed actually means. But the idea ultimately is that for some reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, some kind of negative connotation about what was in this world prior to creation, or what was in this universe prior to creation. Kol shalochas akvot kono rasu lo shal bali olam. Whoever is not makbid on the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, better that he had never been created. Mahi, what does it mean to not be makbid on the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Abba Omer, Zah mistakel b'keshes. This refers to someone who looks at a rainbow. That gazing directly at a rainbow is considered to be an affront to the honor of God. Rabbi Yosef says, Zeha over avera b'seser. This refers to someone who goes ahead and commits an avera in private. Right? Rabbi Yosef, now what's the chab? Because the assumption is that a person who commits an avera in private is what? Cares about what people think, but doesn't what? Yeah. But doesn't care about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. So, you know, it's interesting. If you're going to be a sinner, do it right. Right? If you're going to be a sinner, it's good for Erev Rosh Hashanah. Right? If I'm sorry?
Bumper sticker,
right. If you're going to sin, meaning if you're not going to care, then don't care about what anybody thinks. Don't care about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. Don't care about what man thinks. But to go and commit an avera in public, which means you don't care about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks, but you care about what a man thinks, that's even a greater affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Mistakel b'keshes. So how do we know that looking at a rainbow is an affront to God? D'chsev, kemarei ha'keshes, asher ye'ba'anar b'yom ha'geshem. Like the vision of the rainbow that is in the cloud on a rainy day. Kein marei ha'noga savivhu, mared mus kavod Hashem. So we see that the Navi equates the rainbow with the image of God. Therefore, again, gazing directly upon the rainbow is like gazing directly upon the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a lack of covet. Shabbos say, we know, again, we accept this halacha. See, it's interesting, because the Gemara Masechet Brachos brings down a different idea, which is what? that the rainbow represents against something negative, that the rainbow represents the fact that the world should be destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honoring the covenant with Noach, and therefore not destroying it. So the Gemara therefore says to gaze at the rainbow and say, oh, how beautiful, when it's a reminder of divine compassion, despite the fact that we deserve destruction, is not a good thing. Here the Gemara is adding on an additional dimension, that somehow there's a visage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded in that rainbow, and therefore it's not bakavadik to gaze upon it. That's why, again, we know halacha lemaisa, when we make the bracha of Zocher HaBris on the rainbow, so the halacha is you just quickly look at the rainbow and then you make the bracha. Rav Yosef Amar Zeh over Aver B'Seser. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, call over Aver B'Seser, whoever goes in and commits an Avera in private, kilu dochek ragli hashchina, it's as if he's pushing away the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Kamar Hashem, so Hashem said, Hashemayim kisi, the heavens are my throne, v'haaretz hadom ragli, and the earth is my footrest." I v'ha'amar Rabbi Rosh is very interesting. Gemara v'ha'am Rabbi Aloy Azokin. Imroa Adam Shi Yitzro Meskaber Alav, if a person sees that his Yitzhar is becoming very strong and he doesn't have the ability to fight it, what should he do? Yelech Lamakom Shin Makirno, so go somewhere where no one knows you. Vilbash Shchor, and put on black clothing. Vyisatev Shchor, wrap yourself in black clothing, which also represents disguise yourself. Vyasem Mashali Bochavet, and do whatever you want. Va'al Yechalo Shin Shem Efarhesya. But don't be mechal, don't desecrate God's name in public. Now, say, Rabbi Eloi is not literally telling you, go do whatever you want. What he's saying is, if a person cannot fight a Yetzihara, at least do a little bit of damage control. What's the damage control? If you sin and everybody knows you, you're mechal shem shamayim, go somewhere where no one knows you. Disguise yourself. If you have to take care of your business, your sin business, whatever that is, but at least do damage control and minimize the amount of desecration to Kadosh Baruch. So you see from here that what? So you see from Rabbi Eloi, seems, I don't want to say he's advocating to sin in private, because he's not advocating, but what he's saying is, if you feel you have no other choice, at least here is a little bit of a damage control measure. That contradicts what we said before, because we just said before that over Avera B'Seser is even worse, because it's not a contradiction. Look at Rashi Rabosei. Rashi says, "Dematzi kayif leyitzrei." Here is talking about a case where you have the ability to subdue your yitzer. Uboteach al shu nechba b'seiser kilo dochei kraglayim. Rabosei, if a person has the ability to control himself, but doesn't, instead, again, what he just does is he sins in private. That's what the Gemara is talking about, where you have the ability to exert this self-control, but instead, all you do is do it in private so no one else sees you. Such a person like that, that's an affront to God. But if someone literally cannot control the Yetzer, Rabbi Eloi is saying there are times in life where a person just can't control their desires, their urges. In that case, again, better to go out and do it in private where no one sees you, so that ultimately you'll minimize the chilul Hashem. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani, Rabbi Nachmani, miturgamina dereish lakish, kalamastakil begimel dvarim, ein of kalos. Rabbi said there are three things, if you look at them, your eyesight diminishes. What are they? Bekeshes, at a rainbow. Benasi, nasi literally means like the king or the ruler. Ubikohanim, and the Kohanim when they duchin. Bekeshes, how do we know about a rainbow? Dechsiv kimari akeshes eshe. Yeah, but anabi om ageshem. Humarid mus kivot Hashem. Moses, the pasuk we just said before, that since the rainbow has the image of God, gazing upon the rainbow ultimately again is an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Binasi, hanu binasi, dechsiv, vinasata mehodcha alav. This is by Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you shall place some of your glory upon him on Yoshua, which means what Rabbeinu is saying, that literally the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests upon the leader. So to gaze upon the nasi ultimately is a gazing upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is an affront to God, diminishes one's eyesight. Vamistakel b'kohanim, one who goes and looks at the Quran, what is that talking about? Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. That's referring to when the beis hamikdash stood. Shehayu omdin al duchanon omevarchin es Yisrael b'shem hamafurash. They would go ahead and what? They would stand. Remember, when they would go ahead and bless the people, this is Berachas Kohanim, duchening, they would bless the people with the Shema Furush, with the divine name. So again, the Mefarshim point out, or Rashi points out over here, the Shechina rests on their fingers. So because the Shechina rests on their fingers, if you look at the Kohanim during duchening, then ultimately what? Then ultimately it's like, oh, that's like gazing upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's an affront to God. We'll say, Tosos points out over here, we're not going to do it inside just because of time, but Tosos points out, the Gemara Maseches Brachos down a different idea, which is we're not supposed to gaze upon the Kohanim when they duchen. Why? Because it's a distraction. So really, what Tulsa's point out over here is something very interesting. When the Kohanim Duchen in the Beis HaMikdash and the Shekhinah is on their hands, I can't go ahead and look at the Kohanim when they're Duchening, because again, that's like looking at the Shekhinah. However, again, outside of the Beis HaMikdash is also interesting, because it seems to be that there's a dispute. Does the Shekhinah descend upon the fingers of the Kohanim when they are outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or just when they're inside of the Beis HaMikdash? So Tulsa seems to say that based on the Gemara, No, he's correct. There's no Shem Mefurash. So we see that it seems to be according to Tulsus, that what? That Lemaisa, again, the reason we don't look at the Kohanim out when they duchen outside of the Beis HaMikdash is in order not to distract our Kavan. I will say, I like to think, and there are others, the Maharshan, others point this out as well, that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim duchen, even without Shem Mefurash, the Shekhinah is still Yoreid, as the Gemara says, Akishrei Etzba'oseihem. On their fingers, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, again, today we don't look at the Kohanim for both reasons. Number one, we don't want to disrupt our concentration for the bracha. And number two, because the Shekhinah still rests on their fingers. Lastly, the Gemara says, Darash, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nachmani, what does it mean? Literally, do not believe in that which is evil. Don't believe. Don't put your trust. Aluf Rabbah say literally means like the leader. What does that refer to? If your Yetzirah tells you, oh, it's okay, sin, but you, Akash Baruch will forgive you. It's okay, sin. You'll do tshuva. Al tamin. Do not believe him. Shene'emar al tamin bira. Do not believe that which is evil. So we'll say, so sometimes again the Yetzirah tries to get us to do things based on the assumption that God is very forgiving, God is very loving, you'll make it up later. Don't believe that. The ein ra el Yetzirah. And there's no, what is evil? Evil is Yetzirah. Shene'emar. Ki yetzilev ha'adam ra. Ve'in aluf. Who is the aluf? Ela kadosh baruch hu. God is the aluf. Shene'emar. Aluf nu'urei ato, excuse me. Shema tomar mi meyedi. Same person will say, you know what? I'm gonna sin, and who's gonna know? Right? Meaning, who's gonna? What's that? Not rat me out. Who's gonna? Rat me out. Right? Who's gonna tell? Who's gonna? Inform, right? Who's gonna snitch? Okay, right? Who's gonna throw me under the divine bus? Right? Who is going to go ahead and tell on me? So the Gemara says, listen to this, Rabbi Say. Avne beso v'koros beso shal adam, hein mi'idim. Rabbi Say, you know what? The very stones of my home, the bricks, the sheetrock of my house, they come before me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 120, and they're made. They testify about what kind of person I was. But I also remember, it's very easy to project an image of piety on the outside. But at the after 120, it's the beams of my very home that I lived in, that I did a lot of things behind closed doors. They come to testify about me. Shene Emar, ki even mikir tizak. Because over here, the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk, from Chabakuk, because the stone of the walls will cry out, V'chapis me'etz ya'anena. V'cham, so Rabbi Say, listen to this, Nishmaso shel Adam mi'idabo. Rabbi Say, you know, the neshama of man, so that ultimately testifies about, Rabbi Say, you know, the klahavdil, like the neshama of man is like the black box of our existence. You know, it's like that black box that contains all of the information about what happened on a particular journey. The neshama is mamish, the black box of existence. After 120, Chalash Baruch Hu retrieves it, says, neshama, tell me what happened over the last 120 years. The Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Reb Zreikom says, Shnei malachim yasharis hamalavin oseim yidin bo. The two malachim that accompany, also, you see, it's amazing, by the way, just how the timing of these Gemaras works out. That we see as an Arab Rosh Hashanah, the two malachim who escort me throughout my life, they are the ones who testify about me after 120. Shnei mar, ki malachav yitzav elach lishmarcha b'chol drechacha. Ve'acham necham say, Evarav sha'adam yidin bo. It is the very limbs of man that testify about him after he died. Shnei mar, va'atem eid. So we'll say the body itself that I lived in, that my Hashem lived in for the last 120 years, that's the body that gives testimony about me after 120. Says the Mishnah. Yosi, we'll say, so now we're going to get back to a little bit of halacha. We're not finished the agarata, but some interesting halacha. Yosi ben Yoezer Omer Shalisuch. So we'll say the topic, there is one topic of this Mishnah. And the topic of this Mishnah is smicha on Yom Tov. Remember, again, when you bring a karban, so part of bringing the karban is smicha, which means the owners take their hands and lean and support all of their weight. Well, we'll see, actually, presumably support all of their weight on the karban. So the shaila is, can you do smicha on Yom Tov? The Rabbah say, what's the issue with smicha on Yom Tov? Well, the act of supporting your weight on an animal is hishtamshus bebali chayim, is usage of an animal. Are you permitted to use an animal on Yom Tov or on Shabbos? The answer is no. Why not? It's not an Isser D'Oraisa, but rather, again, it's an Isser D'Rabbanon. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So the Shaila Rabosai is, does the Isser of Smicha apply in the Beis HaMikdash or not when it comes to Karbanos? Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer says, Shlo l'smoch, don't do Smicha on Yom Tov. Yosef ben Yochanan, Omer l'smoch. Yosef ben Yochanan says, you should do Smicha. Yosef ben Brach, Omer Shlo l'smoch. Yosef ben Brach says, don't do Smicha. Nite ha'abeli, Omer l'smoch. Nite ha'abeli, do Smicha. Yude ben Tamai, Omer Shlo l'smoch. Yude ben Tamai says, no Smicha. Shemen Shetach, Omer l'smoch. Shemen Shetach says, do Smicha. Shmaya Omer Lismoch, Shmaya says, do Smicha. Avtanam Shalom Lismoch. So we'll say, this is fascinating in just a moment. Let me get back. It's fascinating now, but it's going to get even more fascinating in just a moment. Avtayon Omer Shalom Lismoch, Avtayon said not to do Smicha. Hillel u'menachem lo nechleku. Hillel and Menachem, will discuss who Menachem is, did not have a machlokes. However, meaning they both agreed, Yotza Menachem nichna Shammai. So Menachem left, we'll see where he went to, and Shammai came on the scene. Shammai Omer Shalom Lismoch, Hillel Omer Lismoch, Shammai says don't do Smicha, Hillel says do Smicha. And Rabbosai, if you'll notice again, all of these are listed as pairs, says the Gemara Amud Beis. Harishonim hayu nisim. The first person mentioned in each of these pairs was the Nasi. Ushniim lahem av beizdin. And the second person mentioned was the av beizdin. I also remember this is talking about in the era of the two-headed leadership model of the Jewish people, First Temple era. Again, we have a Nasi, who is essentially like the Melech, like the king, and an av beizdin, who is the religious head of the Jewish people. Correct. All correct. Correct. Says the Gemara. Turn up on him. Shlosha mizugos harishonim shamru shal lismoch. Ushnaim mizugos acharim shamru lismoch. Harishonim hayu nisim. Ushnim lahem avos bezin div Rabbi Meir. So both say, Rabbi Meir says, just like pretty much what we said, that three of the first pair who said that you should not do smicha, and two of the second pair who said you should do smicha, each of those individuals, those are the Nesim, and the others mentioned in the pairs are the Av Bezdins. So these are Rabbi Meir. The Chum disagree, and they say the following: Yehuda ben Tabai, Av Bezdin, v'Shimon ben Shetach, Nasi. So we'll say, remember in the Mishnah, the way it's written is Yehuda ben Tabai says lo lismoch, and Shimon ben Shetach says lismoch. So Rabbi, according to the Mishnah, the first one mentioned is the Nasi, the second one mentioned is the Av Bezin. So according to the Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tabai is the Nasi, Shimon ben Shetach is the Av Bezin. Comes along Chacham, and they say Yehuda ben Tabai is the Av Beis Din, and Shimon ben Shetach is the Nasi. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Luhuda Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, okay, so now based on this, who is the author of the following statement? Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai said the following. He says, Era ben Nechama, literally, Era ben Nechama is like a lashon of Shavua, like a lashon of an oath. May I see no consolation? If I did not kill an Eid Zomim, lahotzi mi liban shel tzedukim shay omrim ein Eidim Zomim eragin ad sheyerag hanidos. Let's listen to this. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai says something very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai says, I'm sorry. Good. So this is, remember again, the Chacham is so good. So Yehuda ben Tabai says like this. Yehuda ben Tabai says, I went ahead and essentially I executed a single Eid Zomim. Now, what is an Eid Zomim? An Eid Zomim is an aid that is found to be lying about his testimony. So Yehuda ben Tabai says, I executed an Eid Zomim who was found to be a Zomim. And now, why did I do this? To show the Tzedukim that they were wrong. Because what did the Tzedukim say? The Tzedukim, remember, were literalists. They did not believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh, only Torah Shabbat Chsav. The Tzedukim said that you could only execute Eidim Zomim if what? If they were successful in having the defendant executed. So Yehuda ben Tabai comes along and says, I showed the Tzedukim that they were wrong. Why? Because I executed an Eid Zomim before he was successful in going ahead and executing or having the defendant executed. So listen to this. So Shimon ben Shetach said, whoa, Era ben Nechama, im lo shafachta dam naki. I swear, you just spilled innocent blood. why did he spill innocent blood? Because Moshe Shimon Shetach says to Yehuda ben Tabbai, what did you do? You can't execute a single Eid Zomim. The only time that Eidim becomes Zomimin is when both Eidim become Zomimin. Meaning if only one of them becomes a Zomim, then Lamang say you can't go ahead and punish him. There is no reciprocal punishment. So essentially, Shimon ben Shetach says to Yehuda ben Tabbai, you made a terrible mistake. You executed an innocent man. Similarly, you can't flog Eidim Zomim until both of them become Zomimin. And again, you can't go out and make them pay money until both of them become, meaning I will say, you have to treat Eidim Zomimin like a testimonial unit. You can't just turn one into a Zomimin, not the other. So Ella, so what happened? So I will say, so at that moment, Yehuda ben Tabbai took it upon himself that he will not paskin halacha unless he is in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach. Meaning, in order to avoid any erroneous rulings, I will only pass halacha from the Shimon ben Shetach. So now the Gemara finishes the story. All the rest of the day of his life, Yehuda ben Tabbai went to the grave of that Eid Zomim who he executed to ask for mechila via kolo nishma, and he used to be crying out on that grave every single day for the terrible mistake he made. People used to think that it was actually the voice. They didn't think it was the voice of Yehuda ben Tabbai. They thought it was the voice of who? Of the Eid Zomim who was killed. Amar lahem. So Yehuda ben Tabbai said to them, Kolihu, it is my voice. It is my voice. Teda shalamacha hu meis vin kol nishma. He said, I'll show you tomorrow I'm going to die and the voice will no longer be heard. Amar avacha b'edirav, other avashi, v'dilma payusei paisei o b'dina tavai. Maybe the reason why the voice stopped, maybe the voice really was the voice of the dead Eid Zomim. And the reason why it stopped when Yehuda ben Tabbai said was maybe because the neshama of Yehuda ben Tabbai appeased him, or that they went before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for din Torah, and that's why the voice stopped. Money, so I will say, money ha. So whose opinion is reflecting this price sum? So I will say, listen to this. Remember the order over here. You have Yehuda ben Tabbai essentially making an erroneous ruling and saying, I will never again paskin halacha unless I'm in the presence of Yehuda ben Shimon ben Shetach. Okay, so Gemara says, whose opinion does this reflect? Yerub Bishlama, Rabbi Meir, Damar Shimon ben Shetach Av Bezin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai Nasi, Hainu de Kamari halacha b'fnei Shimon ben Shetach. So I will say, if you say like Rabbi Meir, namely that what? That Shimon ben Shetach was the Av Beis Din, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai was the Nasi. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai would have originally had the right to paskin halacha in front of Shimon ben Shetach, because the Nasi is a higher position. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai, the Nasi, would have had the right to paskin halacha in front of Shimon ben Shetach. But now as a result of this catastrophic event, what does Yehuda ben Tabbai say? What does he say? I will no longer paskin halacha unless I'm in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach. Ali Amrit Rabbanon, Dar Yehuda ben Tabbai Av Beis Din, Shimon ben Shetach Nasi. But if you go according to the rabbis who said, which is what pretty much is reflected in the Mishnah, that Yehuda ben Tabbai was the Av Beis Din and Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. If that's the case, Av Beis Din b'fnei Nasi mimor halacha, would Yehuda ben Tabbai ever have had the right to paskin halacha to begin with in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach, that he should now have to say, I'll only paskin halacha for the Shimon ben Shetach, meaning as the Nasi, as the Av Beis Din, he doesn't have the right to paskin in front of the Nasi, to which the Gemara says, mimor halacha lo. My kibel alav de kamar litztarufei dafilu itztarufei nami lo mitztarifna. Rabbi say, even if you want to say that Yehuda ben Tabbai was the Av Beis Din, what he was saying was the following. Rabbi say, the Av Beis Din wouldn't normally paskin halacha in front of the Nasi. That is true, but what Yehuda ben Tabbai was taking upon himself was the following. Normally, the Av Beis Din could be part of another Beis Din to be able to go ahead and paskin halacha. What Yehuda ben Tabbai was taking upon himself is, I will never attach myself to another Beis Din unless what? Unless Shimon ben Shetach is a member of that Beis Din. So I will never go ahead and essentially rule on a halachic matter unless, of course, Shimon ben Shetach is a part of that process. So the Gemara goes weiter. Yotza Menachem v'nichna Shammai. So we'll say this is amazing, because remember, before most people see this Mishnah, no one ever heard of Menachem. Right? We've heard of Hillel and Shammai, but who was Menachem? So we'll say, interesting, remember, this period of Jewish leadership is called the period of the Zugos, the period of the pairs, because it was a two-headed leadership model. So apparently before it was Hillel and Shammai, it was Hillel and Menachem. What happened to Menachem? Lehechan Yatza, Abai Amar Yatza Letar Basra. He went off the derech. Something happened to Menachem, and Menachem left the fold. Others say, Rava Amar Yatza Levodas HaMelech. Rabbi says, amazing. He left Jewish communal leadership to go what? to go into politics. To go into politics, right? He went into the service of the king. Rabbi, what's interesting over here is, according to Rava, the Gemara is not condemning that choice, right? The Gemara is not condemning that choice, although, again, it's actually interesting how to read this Gemara. Some understand that this is a condemnation, that how could he go ahead and leave Jewish communal leadership to go and work for the government, to go and work for the king? Others say, no, they're just stating it as a matter of fact. Tanya Namihochi, we have a Brisa that supports this. Yotza Menachem la'avodas ha'melech. Menachem went out to work for the king, for the service of the king, and what happened? And uviyotze imo shmonim zugos tamidim levushin srigon. And I will say, and 80 pairs of students went with him. Now I will say, now here's where it gets a little bit tricky. So srigon, if you look at Rashi, levushe bigdei malchus. This is also very interesting. So some say the problem what Menachem did is not as much his decision, but the problem is that he took all of these tamidim of Torah with him as well. Now I will say, interesting part of srigon, Rashi says it means like royal garments. Srigon could also mean what? Srigon could also mean armor. So it's not that they join politics, that they get into the military, but the point is Menachem went ahead and left Jewish communal service and ultimately went to go ahead and work for the king and took students with him. Rabbinic law should never be treated lightly in your eyes. Because remember again, smicha, the notion of leaning on the animal on Yom Tov is only a rabbinic issue, and yet what? Something very interesting. Means that, and the great people of all generations, and the great men of the generations argued it. And I will say, what's interesting to note over here that Rashi in the Mishnah actually brings down. Rashi says over here in the Mishnah, he says the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Yosi ben Yoezer Omer Sholdim Smoch, Biyom Tov, Vizohi Machlokes Rishona, Shahaisa Bechach Meisa. Isn't that amazing? The first dispute, the first halachic dispute that ever emerged within the ranks of the Jewish people, you're looking at it. Smicha. Here it is. Chagiga Tez Meir. Do you realize what a good day you chose? What a good day you chose. Right? First machlokes ever. First machlokes ever. So the Gemara is saying, from here you see how carefully you have to treat rabbinic law. Because amazing enough, the first machlokes among Chachmei Yisrael was not about some matter or some facet of biblical law, but was about rabbinic law, about smicha. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Obviously, you have to treat rabbinic law carefully. What's the chiddush? To which the Gemara says, no. Shvus mitzvah itzrichali. The difference of here, Rabosai, is, remember, this is rabbinic law in the matter of the performance of a mitzvah. So itzrichali, so the Gemara says, because I might have thought that perhaps when it comes to the performance of a mitzvah, perhaps rabbinic law is suspended. Perhaps when it comes to a performance of a mitzvah, we don't care about rabbinic law, just do the mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, that's why it's itzrichali. No, that's why you need, again, this teacher to teach us that even in the realm of the performance of a mitzvah, we still have to be careful with rabbinic law. So the Gemara says, Hanai Pshita, but isn't that obvious? I mean, we know, meaning why would you think you don't have to be careful with rabbinic law in the performance of a mitzvah? La'afuki imando amar, bismicha gufei pligi. Because Rabosai, what Gemara is coming to teach us now is, you might have thought when looking at this Mishnah, that perhaps Rabosai, what they're really arguing about is smicha itself. Meaning, I will say, there is another fundamental dispute, in quotes of her, we had this in Beitza, about whether or not you need smicha tekef l'shchita. Does leaning on the animal have to be done immediately prior to the offering of the carbon or not? So also remember, that was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai paskins that you do not need smicha to be done right before the offering of the carbon. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, when should you do smicha for your carbonos? On Erev Yom Tov, and then offer them on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel holds, no, you need smicha, take off lakrava, you need smicha immediately, and therefore, again, once you're permitted to offer the animal, you offer permitted to what? To do smicha. So the Gemara says, that is not what they're arguing about over here. They're not arguing about smicha in this case. What they are arguing about is the role of rabbinic law on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, Bishvusu Dipligi. What they're really arguing about, Rashi says, Shmamina, Midaoki Rabbi Ochran, Taima Mishum Shvus, Smicha, the Kachim, Mechal Kocha, Bainan, Father Mishash Valachim. What they're arguing about is about, can you go ahead and violate rabbinic law for the performance of the mitzvah? Am Rabbi Chama, Shmamina, What we also see from this is smicha b'chal gufa b'inon. We see from here that when you do smicha, you have to do smicha with all of your strength. How do we know that? Because remember again, the only time you can remember, what's the whole issue now? What have we established? What's the issue? The issue is, can I put all of my weight on an animal? Because that's called usage of an animal on Yom Tov. Now, the question only comes up if what? If I'm putting all of my weight, right? If I don't go ahead and put all of my weight, then what's the shiloh? That's not a shvus. I'm not in violation of anything. So obviously, we're going to work it backwards. The fact that you see that this is a machlokis tells us that what? That smicha requires a leaning with all of my weight on the animal. So the Gemara says, again, because again, if smicha could be accomplished without using all of my weight, then my kavod lismoch, then I'm not doing anything wrong. Let me do smicha. To which the Gemara answers, the Gemara raises a kasha, dabra al b'nei Yisrael. Right, the Gemara says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, go ahead and speak to the Jewish people, v'samach, and they will go ahead and they will place their hands on top of the animal. So the Gemara says, b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'bnei Yisrael somchos. What do we see from here? We see that b'nei Yisrael, what time does slichos start? 8:15. All right, we'll say, you know what? Actually, let's stop over here. Let's stop over here by the Meisve. I don't want anybody to be late for the second Slichos. The Chazan's here. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the Meisve Amir Tashem tomorrow. Wishing everyone a good Yom Tov. Aksiva Chasimotov. Remember, again, Daf Yomi is tomorrow in the afternoon. I don't remember what time offhand, but just... what time? 5:30. Okay, just consult the schedule. Here, tomorrow I'll be there. Shabbos is at 8:15. 8:15 in the morning, Shabbos morning, and Sunday's regular schedule after davening. On the next one. Okay. Shabbos morning.